Welcome. The following information you are about to hear is part of the Love Success Series. This is intended for mature audiences. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody. This is Sherry Rose, the Love Linguist, and with me I have Michael Schussler, who's the author of the top-selling book, The Holy Grail. That's the G-Rail, and the G is all about the G-spot. So we'll be talking about sexual dynamics, female orgasm explained, female ejaculation explained, and Michael is well known for changing the world one orgasm at a time with his book. And his book has actually been published in 2006. It's a fantastic book. And he's actually been called the Christopher Columbus of the G-spot. So if you don't know how to find it, this guy certainly does. Michael is also an artist and is well known as a sex and sensuality life coach. He's based in the Denver area, and he's the Denver sex and sensuality expert for TheExaminer.com, and he writes a weekly Q&A column, which is called Ask Michael. Michael is very popular, and he's been interviewed on Playboy and numerous other shows, and his hometown of Denver has been on the Uncle Nasty show, and I just laughed when I heard that name. But Uncle Nasty said to the guys, you do not have to ask her how or if she's had an orgasm, because you'll know. So we definitely want Michael to give us a few tips there. So let's start off and just ask, what are the letters G-R-A-I-N-L, what do they represent in your book, The Holy Grail?
Sherry, thank you so much for having me on the show. The Holy G-Rail, it's an acronym for G-spot relating anatomy into lovemaking. It also is about the Holy Grail, because I believe truly that all you women are the Holy Grail, and if we treat you as such and respect you as such, you will create a sense of immortality within us and a renewed life and sense of life.
Yes, I like to say that women help men achieve their potential, and if men know how to activate the power in a woman, it comes back to them, and then they have more to share with the woman. So it's a cycle, and it's very, very empowering if everybody wants to play properly.
That's right. That's right. I wrote the book. It's real small, real easy read, very non-technical, and it really shows men and women, or reminds them, the basics of a relationship, because in this life with children and families and financial stresses and just all around life, we tend to forget some of the basics that brought us together in the first place. And if we can get back to those basics, then we can create a more fulfilling and rich and passionate life with each other again, even after many, many years of being together.
That is so true. You used the term fulfilling. I like to talk about filling the love bucket. One of the rings of the love bucket is sex, but the other six are not. And so there is a combination of understanding sexual technique, if you will, but more important about making those connections, those human connections, those emotional connections. So can you speak to that part of relating and how that actually activates passion in your life?
You know, it's communication. It's being able to communicate verbally, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually with your partner. Communication is that connection is so vital. When we are within a relationship and it traverses the third and fourth and fifth and maybe 10th and 15th and 20th year, we begin to really understand our partners, or at least we think we do. And it gets to a point where certain motions and certain reactions tell us yes or no, rather than verbal stimulus. And the reality of it is we've always got to check ourselves on that. Because even if we think we can read the mind of our partners because we've been with them and understand them so well, we can't. And there's little signals that are given to us by each other that can be misinterpreted And that can start self-doubt within each other. A simple thing like pulling away because you may be a little bit sore or tender in a certain area. Even if we've been together for a long time, we may take that as, oh, you just don't want it, or you just don't want.
Right. Rejection.
Yeah, as rejection. And if we don't speak about it, if we don't talk to each other about it, which we tend to start doing after long-term relationship, you can get mixed signals and the wrong signals, and you can continue to let them fester and build up within you, which create the opposite of what we're trying to do. So it's always good to talk to your partner and to be gentle about it and let them know what's going on, because it may be something totally different than what we're expecting. That way it doesn't allow any room for our minds to wander and feel that rejection or feel that we are being rejected, because that's the last thing we want to do.
Absolutely. And that feeling of rejection, it's not just happening on the side of the man, it's happening on the side of the woman, it's happening in just our friendship relationships as well. And being able to have that communication and discussing what it is you're feeling to remove the obstacles is what helps you get closer and have that feeling of intimacy.
Exactly. And the Holy G-Rail, I've got chapters on communication. I've got chapters on patience and self-love and the G-spot. And all of these things create enriched cycle of intimacy within couples. You can't leave any of them out, not one of them or any of them out. And it's really important to remember those simple aspects. Patience is a huge one, being patient with your partner when it comes to sexual intimacy and when it comes to day-to-day life. If we can just step back, take a breath, and recognize what's going on, it makes it so much easier to feel love and let all the other things of life fade away. And if you do this with your partner, you were talking about friendship, it also fills out the rest of your life with people. And you're talking about friendship with your partner, but it also flows out to each and every soul you come into contact with. If you have a fulfilling personal life, you glow and you're happy, and it makes the rest of life, the doldrums of life, become just as fulfilled and rich.
Well, I'm so happy that you're here today sharing this with people, because when you think about intimacy, people separate it sometimes from the feelings of love and friendship and closeness. And when you're having passion in your life, in whatever you do and whomever you're sharing it with, everybody else picks it up.
They do, and it's so important. I've been with my partner for a long time, and people see how comfortable and how loving we are. And, you know, even after 14 years, it's mentioned all the time. And that's looks like you just fallen in love, and it feels that way. And that's because we continuously, it's not like we make a point of, okay, today let's talk about this or that. We just make sure that when one of us is feeling down, find out what's going on and find out what's happening. And we make sure our intimacy stays just that. Passion is so important. Sexual relation is a very big part of that. You know, it's funny because over the years doing this work and helping people, I hear people, and I've been in the situation in the past with other partners where sex becomes unimportant and friendship becomes more important. And I understand that, but I really feel that both are just as important within a relationship. And granted, the older you get, your body chemistry changes and things, you know, you might not feel as passionate physically just because of hormones and age. But, you know, I've met so many people in their 70s and even older that are just as passionate, and sex keeps them young and alive. And, you know, you're only as old as you feel.
That's so true.
And if you keep that spark going on all levels, I think it works better. There's so many relationships that fall to the wayside because even though there's that conceptual thing of we're building a great friendship and sex isn't so important to us anymore, it's got to be accepted by both people. You can keep passion alive in so many different ways. Even if things are feeling like they're starting, can keep the passion alive. There's ways of keeping that spark. And I think, you know, sexuality and that aspect of intimacy is really important, and we should try to keep it going. My adage is if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
That's a fact.
So the longer you go thinking that, you know, oh, whatever, you know, it's not a big deal, the less you feel like it.
Your body and muscles, the muscles that you exercise are nice and strong and ready to go. Otherwise, they atrophy, and it has to do with the physical level, the love biochemicals activating those neurons that go, oh, okay, now it's going to be time for some sexual fun, or just sitting there on the wayside. And if you do not activate those parts of your body, as well as your mind and emotions, those circuits don't happen in your brain and your body, so they don't remember what's supposed to happen. An athlete that's preparing for the Olympics is really finely tuned. I'm not suggesting that people have sex like an Olympic athlete, but hey, who knows? The whole idea of, as we go through cycles, there's an ebb and the flow in our daily life, of the course of a relationship, as we age, and what's happening when you're 20 is different than when you're 40. But it's all a choice. Making love is a choice, not just sexual love, but the connection that you have with another person, because it's one day at a time, one act at a time, one experience at a time. That's how we connect.
That's so true, and it's important to connect. That's the key of what you're saying, is that connection and keeping it on all levels and in all ways. I think it's so important, because it's easy to get enamored or titillated by someone else when you stop thinking that way in your own personal relationship for whatever reason. That's where you've got to come back, and that's why I stress the simple things within my book, because it keeps you sharp on all those levels. And expanding your sexual technique, expanding the ways and the excitement levels, and doing different things and keeping it fresh is important. Plus, it keeps you interested. It makes things fun. That way, you're not drawn to outside influences.
That is so true. Now, your book, The Holy G-Rail, has been on the top 100 books on Amazon in the category of human sexuality, love and romance, and sex instruction numerous times, and it consistently is in the top 1% of book sales on Amazon because it is an easy read. It's not a technical book, and it's been said that every man and woman, they need a copy of your book. So what are the main aha moments that your readers report back to you after reading your book? Is there one or two things that they say after they read their book just really hit home for them?
You know, it's funny. When I first wrote it and published it to make sure my theories were valid, it went both ways. There's a lot of people that don't even believe there is a G-spot, or there's a difference between clitoral stimulation and G-spot stimulation and the release. And so one of the big ahas is people finding it for the first time and experiencing that release for the first time. And it's just...
And it's a really good one.
Yes, it is. You know, it's just as exciting for us gentlemen to see that type of release going through your lover or your partner, because the reaction is so different and so powerful. When you enable someone to have such a powerful release, they're going to do everything in their power to do the same for you. So it's a wonderful circle there. So I would say that's one of the big ahas, is that it exists and that it is different and so powerful. And you can do it within the Holy G-Rail. And just for your listeners, it's G-Rail. So you don't go to the Holy Grail. But nevertheless, I teach people how to do it with their fingers first. I don't even talk about intercourse very much within the book, because it's such a powerful release. And I teach men how to, by the sensation of touch and by texture, find the area, and by communication between the couple, That this way they can, both of them know what's going on and both of them know what to expect, and it takes the pressure off. It's also wonderful because of the fact that men with ED or erectile dysfunction can release their partners in a way that they've, I wouldn't say a vast majority, but I would say a higher percentage of women haven't experienced. And they can do this with their fingers alone, which is wonderful. So anyone can do it. And then you can train your body after you've done it physically for a while. You can train your body to get in the right position to do it with your member and actual intercourse. That's the first aha. The second is I've had more than one person mention that after reading the book and it, sharing it with their partner, I wrote it for men. Actually turned out that probably 90% of my buyers are women.
And what I've seen and heard is that women, not only do they think that this is a beautifully written book, that the fact that it comes from a man really gives it a lot of power, and the book is easy to read. There's a lot of insight there, and it really directs people onto this elusive yet prized path of the sexual experience, which is the holy G-rail.
Yeah. It's so wonderful that women have been so receptive to it. And the second big aha is that they've changed their patterns because of it. When some of the gentlemen I've tested it on or given it to and said, here, try this on your lover and see how it works. Now you need to tell her what you're doing in the process. You can't just surprise her. It's like you can't just reach in and do this thing and go, surprise, because it's not going to work, because there's certain sensations that she's going to feel which may shut down the whole process. And we can go into that in a minute, but
exactly.
Some of the gentlemen actually said that their wives expressed to them that they had already done that for them. Not very often, but it had happened. One gentleman in particular, his wife said, you know, you've done that before. And he went, really? And she goes, yeah, it doesn't happen, but, you know, a couple times in our life, but it has happened. And he felt really proud and excited about that. They have children and they have full-time jobs. So they had their Wednesday and Saturday nights slotted out, time slot for intimacy, sending the kids off to a babysitter or giving themselves this time. And it was pretty regimented that way for a number of years. Well, after he did this on one of their slotted nights, he said, let me try something different. And then she expressed to him, well, you've done that before. It doesn't happen very often, but you have done that before. He found that she was starting to wake him up more often on non-slated nights.
Right, because when you start going, ooh, I really like that kind of pleasure, I want some more of that good stuff.
Well, it was that, and she expressed to him that the fact that he took the time and researched something and talked to her about it and attempted it, it just, after so many years of marriage, it rekindled something within her. You know, it wasn't necessarily the G-spot itself, although that was a good plus, it was the fact that he took the time to try something different, and it did work, and they were able to connect again in a way they hadn't connected in a long time. So it excited her and gave her more zeal to get up in the middle of the night and do things differently, because he went out of his way to try something different in their little time slot and experience something with her, and they experienced it together. So it was a combination.
Yes, that combination is great. And for a woman, that's filling the love bucket. When a man actually puts in effort, time, and attention that he usually doesn't do, a woman immediately responds. I say that a man that puts in just a tiny little bit of effort gets it back tenfold from a woman, because she realizes that he's then focusing on her and for her. It's not just about daily life. And as you said, you know, married and they got time slots. You know, when you're acclimating, you're constantly just dealing with the temperature of the busy life and not just going with the flow of wild, passionate love, you know, like you do when you first get together or when you're young and your hormones are just crazy. But when you fill the love bucket, then that always leads to more fulfilling sex. And that is something that in your book, I know, are so clear in getting that message of connection out there. Like you said, that the G-spot relates to the anatomy that turns into lovemaking. And I love how you say that. And it's clear, Michael, that you are deeply passionate about your mission in life, and you've got a very clear purpose, and that you do your work with integrity, and your readers and your clients feel that you give your all. When you're there, you're giving them 100% of your attention, and that's a beautiful thing. Even though you're not a doctor, you have a great bedside manner, and when people interact with you, just like as I'm having this experience with you, it's so open and refreshing. And the listeners, at the end of this, I'll give you the links, etc., to the book, but I recommend this book because if you are looking for that long search for sexual experience and deep orgasm, whether you're activating the G-spot and the release of it, whether it does or does not come with female ejaculation, you can repeatedly go through this experience, and it does actually create a deeper bond in a couple, wouldn't you say, Michael?
Oh, yeah. And thank you so very much for those kind words, Sherry. Yes, it's so important. It's so important to create that intimacy and have it go both ways. So throughout the book, I give little hints for my clients and the people I talk to. I give little hints of stamina building techniques for both the man and the woman. And it's really important for the man to understand that they can learn something. I think writing it for men and then having 90% of women buy it instead of men kind of shows a perspective. There's a small percentage of gentlemen, and I don't say this in a mean way, but there's a smaller percent of men that are willing to open up and try new things because of the fear of admitting that they're not kings of their palace, so to speak. A lot of gentlemen I come across, I'll talk to them about the book, close friends, and they'll look at me after 20 minutes and go, well, the G's right down there by the clit, isn't it? And it's like, what? Haven't you listened to anything I said? And they just don't.
Men in general don't buy as many books as women, so I'm just letting the guys off the hook with that particular statistic.
Yeah.
But it is true. Earlier when I mentioned that you're called the Christopher Columbus of the G-spot because you can find it, well, you know how men are about asking for directions? They don't like to do it.
Exactly.
So you fortunately have led the way. And I know that women relate to you in your book because it has great information, but they relate to you because you're an amazing, caring, and compassionate man. And some women think you're every woman's dream because not only do you know this, but you act on it. And you seem to know what women want, and you're also very understanding. But for men, reading your book and working with you, the manner in which your book is written gives men the opportunity to engage in a conversation that they don't usually have. And you know, my name is the Love Linguist, so I understand that the conversation is happening, and that actually gets the brain activated, so you get excited. And that conversation and intimacy puts men in that power position. I call it the benevolent power position. So they're empowered, and then a man can then, it's kind of leveling the playing field, and it puts a man in that position of power to please a woman, because men love to please women. They love to know that they're doing it. And if they know that this is actually going to get them more of what they want, as well as give a woman what I call a mind bender, a mind bending orgasm. I mean, those are the kind when after it happens, time and space stops. There is nothing else going on except looking into the eyes of your lover. Men that are actually, it's a certain level of awareness. It's a certain level of wanting that personal power within themselves so that they can give the pleasure to their lover, their wife, their partner, whatever you call her. Those are the guys that all women want out there, and that's why you're sort of the poster child.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, I guess I would rephrase what I said in a little way, and you did very, very eloquently. It's not that men don't want to learn. It's just they don't share with other men that they want to learn. On a personal level and inside, I'm sure everyone thrives to become better lovers. although it's tough for them to open up to other men and say they don't know what's going on or admit to that.
Well, men don't like to admit weakness, and that has nothing to do with just the bedroom. It has to do with everything in life.
Exactly.
Women will run to their girlfriends and go, I got this problem and that problem, and then the gals all get together and they kind of try to figure it out. Men try to figure stuff out on their own. They don't want to open the kimono and go, look, I got issues. I haven't figured it all out. I'm not the top dog around here. Men, that's just in general. So what happens at work, in regular life, also shows up in the bedroom. So men, don't worry, if you're listening, you're off the hook there. But the guys who really want to take a step up and get powerful, nobody needs to know that you're buying this book. Just buy it, read it, and then make it happen.
Yeah, and I suggest you read it with your partner, because it's very stimulating to read it with your partner. Plus, it shows her that you're taking the time and relishing the fact that you can go outside of the box and try new things. And there are little tips in there on all types of stamina building. One of the main focuses, I think, is changing your focus. And that's where the whole relating anatomy and lovemaking comes into it. When you're focused on your partner, your body's going to take care of itself. If you start thinking about your own release, it's going to happen faster. There's a few illustrations within the book, simple illustrations showing how to find the texture and the feel of what you're looking for as far as the G-spot. And there's an area on the man's member, frenulum, but I call it the magic spot.
I like the magic spot.
You know, and it's a simple area. And ladies, if you have it in that, is a quick release type of guy. If you stay away from that area, it's going to slow him down. If you've got a guy who you just can't get to release, you focus on that area. It's like the man's clit, I guess you would say. Literally, it's a very sensitive area, and there are certain techniques you can do to stay away or be near it and focus your attention elsewhere, which helps build stamina, you know, aside from Kegel exercises for men and women.
And breathing techniques.
And breathing techniques. It's so much easier. I give all these little gentle hints, and that way it absorbs a lot easier. It's more of an aha rather than an instruction.
Exactly.
Which I think comes through a lot better. I wrote this book from personal experience, and I put myself and my special lover's life out on the line for the world to read. And I believe people can relate to that much more than book learned knowledge, statistical facts, and that type of information. If you've experienced it for yourself and you're willing to put yourself out on the line, I think the information it's easier for people to relate to because someone's actually gone through it.
Exactly. And it's also important. I consider myself a blessed woman that I have all the wonderful feelings of orgasm, female ejaculation, all the mind-bending experiences that go with it. And I consider myself one of the blessed and lucky ones. And I've been able to take my own personal experience and share it with others, because when you know the sensation, you can describe it so somebody can start to allow themselves. A lot of it is allowing yourself to feel the sensation instead of shutting it down, because there's a lot of things that we just automatically shut down in our body. But I want to just switch for just a moment and talk about self-love and loving yourself. And when in the love dynamics, the seven love dynamics, one is love of self. When you talk about practicing self-love, are you referring to sexual love or relationship with yourself or both? What exactly do you mean by practicing self-love?
Self-love is really important, and I talk about both aspects and kind of commingle them. The reality of it is if you don't know how to love yourself, if you feel ugly or if you feel there are certain areas on your body that are unattractive, and you pour that kind of energy into those areas, they are going to be unattractive to you, and it's going to slow down your passion and your lovemaking when you're with a partner, because you've got these insecurities that are like little red flags all over you. So it's really, when I talk about self-love, at first it's really important to pour beauty and love into the areas within yourself that you feel are not complete and lovable. You got to love yourself before you can accept love from another. It's so important. It's funny because I've mentioned that to other people, and they've looked at me kind of funny, like, what do you mean? And it's so important that you have a love and a compassion for yourself so that you know what you're feeling for, so that you can give it out and receive it from another person openly and readily. And then that crosses over to the physical side of self-love. If you don't know what a release is, how can you expect someone else to do it for you? If you don't know what you're feeling for.
If you don't know the sensations.
Exactly. How can you expect someone else to do it? And in some of my counseling sessions and some of the women I've worked with, they're mature women, some of them, you know, close to 50 years old, who have never experienced an orgasm.
That makes me want to cry.
Well, it's shocking, and they will blame their partners. Why can't he do it for me? You know, you got to be able to do it for yourself. So the first thing I do is walk them through it. Experience yourself. So the best thing to do is, you know, get yourself a glass of wine or, you know, juice, whatever relaxes you. Slide into the nice music, light some candles, slide into the bathtub and start pouring some love into yourself. And not necessarily masturbation right away, but, you know, start loving your arms and your legs and your feet, and then move into the other areas and walk yourself through it. You've got to be able to touch yourself and experience that for someone else to do it for you. It's really tough for someone to read your mind. It's much easier if you can do it to yourself, then you can guide your partner to those areas, to those movements, and allow him to facilitate that experience for you.
Right. And it's so true. I actually consider myself pretty lucky. I was a bit of a tomboy as a kid. I was always hanging up in the trees, but I love to wear skirts. And most people who know me, they know I'm always in a dress or a skirt. So my mother was great. She actually sewed some shorts into my skirt. So when I was hanging upside down in the trees, you know, everything was cool. But when I came home, I would look at my older sister, and I called her body beautiful because she was a beautiful girl, but she was rubbing lotion on herself. When she walked, it seemed like she was walking on air. She didn't seem like she actually touched the ground because she had this graceful movement because she totally took care of herself. Now, some people might have thought, oh, she's self-absorbed or she's full of herself or whatever. But I looked at it that she really cares about herself, and it shows. I mean, everybody loved my older sister, and she's still incredibly beautiful now. And I actually used to watch her, like when she was like crossing her arms, she'd be stroking herself. She'd be stroking her hand along her arm, like love.
That's so important.
And it was so innocently beautiful. If you are the type of person who doesn't like to touch or is scared to touch, start with yourself.
It's so important. My partner, it's funny because she'll look at herself in the mirror and she'll do a lot of the same things, and it keeps her young and it keeps her beautiful. It's amazing. And I do it for myself. You've got to love yourself, and you've got to pour beauty into yourself, and it will reflect out and touch all of those that come into contact with you.
It's so true. My niece is a gymnast, and she's a very good gymnast. And it's summertime right now when we're doing this interview, and I was walking around in my mini skirt, and she looked at me. She goes, "Wow, you've really got great legs." And I looked at her, and I smiled, and I actually touched my legs, and I said, "You know what? I think I have great legs. My legs respond that way." And we had the greatest laugh because we realized that how we think of ourselves is as well as what we do. I mean, obviously there's genetics that come into play. But if you think there's something great about you, whether you verbalize it to anybody or just say it to yourself, your body will reflect that and other people will notice it, whether they notice it just unconsciously or consciously.
That's it's the magic of life.
Yes, exactly.
That is the key of of life and getting what you want, period, in life. And that key is to experience things as you want them now.
Doing things in the now, but sometimes there are issues that people have. And so how can sexual healing help bring back that passion and desire back into your life so that you can have it in the now? It's not something that's going to happen down the road.
There's a real good letter.
I'll add it to the links at the end of this interview that people can get.
Okay. She's got a healing letter, and it's basically, I think it has helped so many women. You write a letter to yourself, and you write all these things down, and in a sense, you're releasing these things to spirit, whatever you want to call that. And it really works to be able to release. Sexual healing starts by releasing the pain and the uncomfortable things that may have happened in your past or the things that you feel uncomfortable with. You've got to get past your past before you can move forward. There's too many people that hold on to pain and uncomfortable issues and feel that it's their fault and then feel that they are the ones that caused the situation they're in. And in a sense, because of the dwelling, they continuously perpetuate that. And it's tough to get past certain issues. But to heal sexually, you've really got to accept yourself, back to the loving yourself, in order to get past and really grow and nurture and get, go forward.
Well, I think that's so true, because that healing and loving yourself, whether it's sexual love or other types of hurts that you've had in your life, when you have that level of personal compassion, then you can move forward in your life.
Yeah, it's time to really look at the things that are holding you back. And it works whether it's not experiencing an orgasm, whether it's abusive and mentally, emotionally, and even physically abusive past relationships, being told you're unlovable, being told you're lousy in bed, being told, you know, for many years that you're worthless. You got to realize that the people who say things like that to you, the people that force this kind of imagery upon you, they're the ones that are lacking. They're the ones that have an issue. We all make mistakes, but we can grow from mistakes. And when other people try to force their views upon you and you actually accept them, which happens so often, and it's really difficult for me sometimes to understand, and maybe it's because of the way I grew up. I was a loner, and I just realized that I'm the one that can pull myself out of anything. It's a fine line. You partners are wonderful, but you've got to know yourself and experience yourself and love yourself to get past anything.
Yeah, I like to say the longest relationship that you have is the one with yourself. So you might as well make it a good one.
Yes, and that opens the door and that lays to rest anything and everything that other people can say to bring you down. It's really easy to be brought down by others, but you got to let it go and realize. And just think about it. It's like, what are they lacking within themselves to project such negativity towards me?
And send them some compassion. Now, one last question as we wrap up here, and we intimated on this earlier, but I want you to really hit it home for people. And why is it, Michael, that you believe that women are the holy G-rail?
Because you're the most beautiful and special things on the planet. No, but really feel that you women are, you know, the divine feminine. You are the givers of life. You can create life physically. If we shower you with love and compassion and really allow you to shine, you're going to give that back to us. And that's going to open that aspect within us also. We all have some divine femininity within us. Gentlemen, you do too. And a duality of life, we need each other. And the Holy Grail is something that I truly believe. When I wrote the book, it just came, it just occurred to me. And that was before the Da Vinci Code or any of that stuff. It just came to me that you ladies are the Holy Grail. You've been beside us from the beginning of time. It's funny because it makes so much sense.
Wow, that's so true. I really appreciate the fact that you believe that women are the holy grail. I'm honored to be a woman and to have that lovely role. For our listeners, thank you very much. We will have the digital ebook that is associated with this interview. And Michael has some great videos on YouTube. There'll be links there. There'll be links to get his book, The Holy Grail, as well as the healing letter that we mentioned earlier. And Michael, thank you so much for being here today. You truly are that a person who has deep caring and compassion that other people have mentioned, and everybody that's listening today will experience that. So it's been a real honor and pleasure to have you here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, and thank you for doing what you're doing. It's wonderful. It's really special what you do, and the Love Bucket, your perspective, and I can't say how much I appreciate being on the show and having you have me part of it. Thank you so very much.
Because what you're doing helps empower men so that there are happier women. And when there are happier women, then the world actually is a better place.
Yes, it is. It all works so perfectly.
That's right. Everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
You have just listened to the audio session on one of the programs in the Love Success series. Discover how to keep your love and sex life sizzling by visiting the website loveandsexlife.com.